Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities and to get involved with local groups or help you make a difference around the region. I'm your host, Rick Turner, and in today's program, we'll discuss rural health care with legislation pending in Congress with Congressman Sam Graves. We'll also visit with Casey Joyce of Gospel Farms in Bethany and Bobby Smith talking about Silas Lee's Crazy Animal Park in Albany. And we're fortunate to have Congressman Sam Graves join us this morning. Congressman Graves serves North Missouri in the U.S. House, where he assumed office in 2021. Prior to that, he was in the Missouri Senate and also the Missouri House. Been in service 20 years now. So welcome, Congressman. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
We want to talk today a little bit about health care, specifically rural health care and access to hospitals. I think a lot of times, you know, we take our access to hospitals for granted, especially when we need it. There's a good probability that could be an emergency situation. So we're fortunate to have good health care right now in North Missouri. I think most of the areas have, you know, access within several minutes to health care. But that's something that really can change pretty quickly. So as you go around the area and speak with different people, what are some of the concerns that you run into as it deals with health care?
Well, the biggest thing is our smaller hospitals, our rural hospitals are struggling just simply because they don't have the population behind them, and it's very expensive to keep open, you know, particular services like emergency room. It's very expensive, you know, and it's one of those situations where you have to be ready at a moment's notice if something were to happen or you had an emergency, and it's one of the most expensive things to keep open the hospital. So we have to do everything we can in North Missouri, obviously, to keep those hospitals, keep them open and keep that access. And we do have good care in North Missouri, and we haven't had any hospitals, at least in the 6th Congressional District, close as of yet. So, pretty happy about that.
And you talked about that access, especially in trauma situations. And I see a statistic that says, you know, about 60% of trauma deaths in the U.S. occur in rural areas compared to only, you know, about 20% of the population living in those areas.
That's right. And again, that's what's vitally important, and obviously in a rural area, you're much more spread out. You have to depend in many cases on, you know, helicopter service to airlift, med lift those patients to the hospital, or if you use an ambulance, obviously it takes longer to get to a hospital. And that's why it's so critical, pieces of legislation like what we're working on right now. It's critical to make sure that we get that passed so that we can make sure our hospitals stay open.
And talking about, you know, hospitals staying open, some of those other statistics show, I think it's 137 rural hospitals closed between 2010 to 2021, and that rate increasing, another 453 just on the margin, you know, of closure, you know, like it is in the past decade, another 216 vulnerable to closure right now. So, you know, what is being done as far as legislation goes on your end to make sure that rural America and North Missouri continues to have that access to health care?
So we've got two programs. One's called the Medicare Dependent Hospital Program, and the other one's called the Medicare Low Volume Price Adjustment. Those are set to expire on December 14th of this year. These are programs that we reauthorize every so often, and it helps keep those doors open for our rural hospitals because it deals with the Medicare reimbursement. And our hospitals in the rural areas tend to have more Medicare patients because we do have an older population. So we're working. I've introduced legislation to make sure that those two programs are reauthorized. We had a temporary reauthorization in the last continuing resolution, which keeps the government running for short periods of time while we're still working out the budget. But they're set to expire December 14th, and those are very important programs for our rural hospitals because those hospitals depend a lot on Medicare reimbursements because they have a lot of Medicare patients. So that's one area that we're working on is it's really important.
You know, obviously, you know, some hospitals in our area are affiliated with other larger hospitals like Mosaic and St. Luke's Healthcare. And then we have hospitals like Harris County Community Hospital here in Bethany and Cameron Regional that's locally operated, but still, you know, affiliated with other hospitals. Is there a difference in those as far as are the ones affiliated with larger hospitals more vulnerable to cutbacks or closures?
Well, in some cases, yes. So if you are affiliated with a larger hospital, obviously in many cases you're able to offer some more services. Now, even hospitals, though, like in Harrison County, those hospitals, they do collaborate with with doctors, and they do make those referrals. But you know, it's a network system is what it is, and Mosaic does project itself out to a lot of our rural hospitals. But these hospitals, again, they depend on these reimbursements, and again, Medicare. You know, we have 174 Medicare-dependent hospitals in this nation, and there are 634 hospitals that utilize the Medicare low-volume price adjustment, which we are low-volume hospitals. So what that amounts to is about $13.3 million that could be lost without the price adjustment in the state of Missouri. So I'm pretty confident that Congress is going to let these programs be reauthorized. You know, they're going to take my bill, and so I should be able to keep the hospitals open for at least for the next few years until the reauthorization comes up again.
You know, that's obviously something we're appreciative that you keep on top of that, because, you know, like we say, a lot of times we don't think about it until those emergencies, you know, happen. Also, there's some other legislation out there that you focused on. What some things that you're doing as far as making sure that we have access to telehealth services, making sure ambulance services continue and have those necessary resources as well?
Well, one of the things is to make sure that our hospitals are set up and hooked up to the fastest internet service that we can provide. And a lot of our the services get better all the time in our rural areas. We still have some areas out there, some of the more outlying areas that struggle with rural broadband, but it's getting better and better and better all the time, which allows a much broader access to health care through the internet, through telemedicine, and that's something that is vitally important. I know, hospitals and schools actually are two of the priorities when it comes to making sure that high-speed internet is out there and something that is vitally and important. So that's one of those areas we continue to improve upon and something that is obviously very good.
Yeah, and that's something, we hear a lot about the high-speed, the fiber coming in, and sometimes we really don't realize, what it can do with those schools and those hospitals. And what some other areas you see coming up in the future that, maybe not at the forefront right now, but we can bring here and start thinking about as far as bringing best access to healthcare possible for rural areas like we are in?
Well, one of the things, obviously, that is vitally important, and I mentioned it earlier, is when it comes to, airlifting patients from the accident or whatever the case may be and getting them to those hospitals very, very quickly. And that's something we want to help provide funding sources for, and to make sure that we have those assets scattered throughout very rural areas. If you have, for instance, a combine accident in a very remote area, you want to get those first responders there just as quickly as possible, and then airlift that victim to an emergency room just as quickly as possible. Those first, that first hour after an accident is vitally important when it comes to emergency service. So the quicker we can get them to the emergency room, the better off it is. And that's something that we're absolutely looking at to expand that. We already have airlift service in various parts, but it's still scattered out. It obviously doesn't take as long to get there, but it's still scattered out and takes a little bit of time.
Right. And obviously that legislation you talked about coming up, is Medicare issues coming up in December. So what do you estimate as far as the time period that we can see something come through Congress?
So it's looking like it's probably going to be in the November, early December time frame. We do have to finalize the appropriations bills for the following year. And so I would guess it'll happen before the deadline. I'm pretty confident that will happen. If not, you'll see another extension. If the majority can't pass the appropriations bills, then what they'll do is they'll pass another extension and keep everything moving until they are able to get everything together for the appropriations bills. So I'm pretty confident we're going to be able to get those programs reauthorized, because every rural district in the country, depends on these. Everyone that has a rural district has rural hospitals, and it's vitally important. It isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. It's important to our rural areas. So everybody's working towards that goal, whether you're Republican or Democrat, to make sure you see these two programs reauthorized.
Right, and we'll be watching that pretty closely, I know. And we do thank you again for your service and your quick timing on that to try to get those things, you know, brought back up and make sure that we do have that access. So I won't keep you very long, but we do thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you once again for, you know, what you do for North Missouri and everything you do in the House.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate that, and it's something that I do enjoy, and something that it is important. The rural areas we get forgotten about over and over and over again. So, the rural areas need representation much more so than a lot of parts of the country because we are forgotten and we're flyover country. So that makes it that much more important for, you know, those of us who represent rural areas to stick together and push forward.
And once again, that is Congressman Sam Graves. You're listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show. After this break, we'll be joined by Casey Joyce with Gospel Farms and Bobby Smith with Silas Lee's Crazy Animal Park. And we have Casey Joyce joining us this morning from Gospel Farms. So thank you for joining us, Casey. We appreciate you coming.
Hey, good to be here, Rick.
Gospel Farms here in Bethany, a lot of people have heard of it. A lot of people have been out there already this year. A lot of good things going on. I know you have that corn maze. It's actually a different corn maze this year that people are talking about. I haven't had a chance to been out there yet.
Yep.
But can you just tell us a little bit about Gospel Farms, how it got going, and how you were inspired to do Gospel Farms?
Sure. So we view Gospel Farms as a multifaceted marketplace ministry, which basically just means there's a lot of moving parts and each one has an intentionality behind it. The way the whole thing came to be, and in each of these parts will play a factor into that, is throughout the years as a pastor, the Lord has blessed me with opportunities to travel the world and get to share the gospel with multiple people groups. And what I discovered is in other countries, people are sitting around, and it's very easy to walk in or walk up to someone and have a spiritual conversation. They seem very receptive. The atmosphere seems conducive of it. And so being able to do that outside the U.S. and then coming back home and realizing that our culture doesn't lend itself to just walking up to a stranger and having a spiritual conversation. You can find people at the ball field, but they're typically watching their kiddos in ball games, or you go up and knock on somebody's door. Just like if you knocked on my door, I would wonder what you're there and why are you on my property? And so it's just the atmosphere isn't the same. And so we started just praying about how do we create opportunities for conversations, for spiritual conversations. Somebody once asked me if I could do anything in the world for a job, what would I want to do? And truthfully, it's just walking around telling people about Jesus. I want to hear their story. I want to hear their heart. I want to hear their struggles and pains, and then show them the love of Christ and give them the truth of the gospel. And so as we started Gospel Farms, we wanted to create a place where simply conversations could happen.
So just it brings people in to give you that, that chance. You know, they're just standing around out there in your property and having fun, and you have a chance to talk to them.
Yep. Kids are milling around. There's all sorts of activities, and we've noticed that parents and grandparents oftentimes will join them, but then they don't quite have the stamina that the kids have. And so they find a place to sit, and we just simply start having conversations. And I hope when people show up, you know, gospel is on the sign. So they know what they're getting into when they show up to Gospel Farms. And we've had some fantastic conversations with folks from all walks of life. We've had people from New York stop by as they were passing through, people from California stop by as they're passing through, really all edges of the U.S. And there's a lot of hurting folks out there that we've been able to pray with and share the gospel with, people that have no spiritual background whatsoever, and people that grew up in church and maybe have walked away. And it's been super cool to watch God open up those doors and to provide us the opportunity. Just again, to love them, to hear their story, to share the truth of God's word to them, and just to pray with them. So it's been fun.
So when you bought the property, if people don't know, it's kind of on the west side of town here in Bethany. And when you bought that, there's no way I would have went in there and seen that property and had the vision of what's out there now. And how did you come up with those ideas of everything that's there?
So that's kind of the second peg to our multifaceted marketplace ministry is, yeah, I had no clue this is what God was going to turn Gospel Farms into. When we moved to town as the student pastor at First Baptist Church, I look at the teenage world and everything that has to do with students and what options are there for students to do. And just recognizing that in our town, there's really not much for not just students, but families to do. I know we have local sports, which are fantastic, but the students are typically on the field and the parents are spectating. So even though they're there together, they're not necessarily together. I know we have a movie theater here in town, which I greatly appreciate. My crew loves movies. But even there, it's not conducive for really conversations. You're there as a family, you experience something together, but then you leave and there's conversations after that. But just started looking at what could we do that would allow families to come together. I think the family unit is extremely important. So we just started praying because I am not a farmer. God blessed me with land, and I don't know why he gives ignorant people things that they don't know what to do with, but apparently he does. And so we just started praying, and I don't know the first thing about planting corn or spraying corn or cutting corn or harvesting corn. And as we prayed, just this idea of corn maze, I thought, well, that would be cool. That sounds like something I want to play on. Maybe I can invite others, and they'll want to come play too.
And that would definitely get people talking in that corn maze of, conversations, where am I?
How to get out of this?
You'd have to talk to people and interact with people on that.
Oh, all the time. And God just started lining things up, and we've created a place that I hope our community finds valuable, so they don't have to drive 60 miles to do something as a family, but they can do it here in town. I will say that we've got 25 groups on our books this year, and so it seems like people are enjoying it. We've had large crowds out just about every weekend, and so it's meeting that need, I hope, and I hope we'll continue to add to it and grow and see more folks come and more folks from California and New York and Iowa and just all over the place come hang out at Gospel Farms.
Now, you talked about the corn maze. What are some other things you have out there for families to do?
So in addition to the corn maze, we have our extreme obstacle course, which is 120 feet of kind of Ninja Warrior style obstacles, which we've only had one person complete the entire course. So there's a little challenge. If any teenager out there wants to come try their hand,
is there a prize for that if they do complete it?
You know what? I'll buy you a snow cone. Free snow cones on me if you can do it. My son has done it and I've done it, but it's kind of cheating because we live there. But we have the extreme obstacle course, the rock climbing wall, the pedal cart track, the paintball shooting range, the zip line, hay bale hill, tire pyramid, a theme we call beam tracks, which is tractor tires with wood beams through there, the bounce house, the petting zoo. And then this year we've added the mini golf and had a real good showing for the mini golf. Lots of folks showed up and continue to show up to do that. And the soccer pool table. I don't want to miss that one either. So lots of stuff.
I've heard a lot about the mini golf this year, with that opening up. And I asked you a little bit before, if you don't want to tell us, that's fine. Do you have any other plans that aren't top secret yet, maybe in the coming years, that we can look forward to?
We are definitely looking next year at a corn pit. We've had the struggle of figuring out how do we keep critters out of it? How do we keep the weather off of it? And if we flood, because we're down in the bottom ground, how do we keep corn from floating away? And I think we've solved all those issues. And so next year, I look forward to a corn pit. And there may be one or two new things, but I don't want to make promises we don't keep. So we'll hold on to that for now.
It does sound interesting. You do a lot out there, and it does have a good purpose. And we do appreciate having that in the community. We're glad that you and your family brought it here. So
thank you.
We want to thank you for that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if we've got a few more minutes, one thing that people might not realize is, God's mandate to go and make disciples of all nations. And one thing that we hope to do with Gospel Farms is to take the resources, the income streams that come in, and we use that to translate scripture into new languages so that all around the globe, if you come to Gospel Farms, you're helping advance God's kingdom globally. And so we're seeing verses translated, new people groups being engaged with the gospel. There's still over 5,000 people groups that are unreached. And so there's missionaries on the field, on those front lines, advancing it. And so every person that comes out is helping be a part of that. So when you come to Gospel Farms, you're doing something local and having fun, but you're making an impact that's global.
That's something cool. People I think would really appreciate knowing that, you know, when they come, that part of that fee is going for that, and and to reach people all around the world.
Yeah.
So remind us once again where Gospel Farms is and how we can find out more information, social media, website, things like that.
Sure. Gospel Farms is in Bethany, Missouri, located at 503 North 10th Street. You can find us on Facebook at just Gospel Farms. Search that out, or you can go to our website, gospelfarms.com. We have all the pricing and activities and attractions listed there.
We do appreciate it. Thank you for coming again. Once again, that's Casey Joyce with Gospel Farms.
Thanks, Rick.
Bobby Smith joins us now. Many of you know that name as a recruiter for the National Guard, but we're here today to discuss something a little bit more personal to Bobby. So I want to welcome you and thank you for coming on this morning, Bobby.
Thank you for having me.
So most people in the Albany area probably have heard of Silas Lee's Crazy Animal Park and know the story behind it, but some people in, you know, more of the outlying listening area may not be as familiar with it. So I want you to talk a little bit about that. For those that don't know, Silas Lee is your son. Can you tell us a little bit about Silas?
He was a nature-loving, fun-loving kid. He loved the outdoors, and the park that we're talking about, he was a big fan of, yeah.
So how did you come up with the idea of creating the Silas Lee Crazy Animal Park?
So for those that don't know, Silas was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor and when he was 4 years old. And in the midst of finding all this out and being at the hospital, our city administrator had reached out to me and asked me, you know, if there's anything that anybody could do, he's willing to help out and do it. Anyway, I knew immediately, you know, what the one thing that I felt like that we could do was build a nature park in that space that was greatly unused in the city, because it was a favorite place of Silas's. He loved that place. And the reason it's called the Crazy Animal Park is because one day while him and his mother were, Alyssa, were walking by, I seen an animal, unidentified animal, out in the middle of it, and it went from just being an open space to then he wanted to, he called it the Crazy Animal, and then he wanted to go back and see that crazy, go back to the Crazy Animal Park. Yeah, that's the gist of the story.
I know I've followed the animal park there on Facebook, and you have pictures of Silas with frogs and all types of animals on there.
Sure, and we have a frog pond at the park, and anyway, after the, you know, we found everything out and things kind of got in the works, you know, I asked him some elements that he wanted at the park, and the frog pond was one of the had to have thing. Quickly went to work and got my dad and Brandon Wilson built the frog pond, and Silas got to see it, and a lot of volunteer work. I mean, Albany was amazing to help us put that thing together.
And I know now you even have events scheduled around the park, that especially during the summertime, that you had going on there.
Yes, we actually just did an event called, we call it Party in the Park. Cuckoo Kangaroo was there. They're a nationally known band. It's a kids thing. They Silas introduced us to them off of YouTube or from preschool. They were Go Noodle guys, and the videos, he come home singing their funny songs, and you know, our family started watching them, and long story short, my daughter is interested in them, and we thought it'd be a cool event to be able to do to celebrate him and expose people from outside of the area to that space. And community event.
I saw that coming on Facebook, and that's what thought, you know, made me think that, yeah, we need to get you on here to, you know, find out what's going on over there, because that's one I never heard of.
yeah, it was an opportunity, I guess you'd say, that we come across to have those guys over there, and we had the magician from BJ Talley from St. Joe entertain the crowd, and we probably had 600 to 700 people there, which is a pretty big deal for Albany.
So when you and your family started this project, or the community actually started the project, did you have any idea that would, you know, get to what it is now?
I had no idea. We just wanted to create something that would be a legacy, you know, something that would remind people of Silas, what his spirit was all about.
Yeah, it sounds like it certainly is doing that. I mean, just starting from that frog pond, you know, you've done a lot with it since then.
It's a delicate balance because, you know, you think of things that you want to do there, but on the other hand, you want to keep it as natural as possible because you don't want to interfere with, you know, how he would have wanted it. And the whole spirit of the thing is, you know, to keep things as natural as possible. The playground is all, with the exception of the plastic frog, I think we could let it all fall in and it would be back to what it was, you know, before we were there. Now that we have built a stage and a bathroom, some amenities that had to happen. But for the most part, we've tried keeping it true to what it is and the spirit of what's behind it. You get kids outside, families that can go out and have fun with each other and not have to have a bunch of man-made distractions. You can go dig in the creek if you want to, or climb a tree. And there's a tree at the park that is almost horizontal to the ground, and size, absolutely love that tree, climbing around in it all the time. We have several pictures of him in it. So it was just a unique place that we could celebrate the outdoors and my son. If they would like to, you can follow us on our Facebook page. My wife does a fantastic job of communicating any kind of news that the park has, or, you know, just uplifting messages. And that is, It's a Great Day for Toads. You can just type that in your search bar and it'll take you to us.
Thank you once again for joining us at the Northwest Mo Info Show. Make sure to join us next Saturday morning at 8:30 as we learn about the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation and the resources they have for Christian education and homeschool families. We'll also have the opportunity to hear from Bruce Williams as he discusses his recently published book on interesting Harrison County history. If you miss a show, want to share it with family and friends, or want to hear it again, you can check it out in the podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com. For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks again for joining us.